Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat about God's never-ending faithfulness. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Hi, friends. It's time for another episode. I'm so glad that you're here. Today, we're going to talk about the strength of a woman. I think it's a very fitting topic with the Olympics just having ended in Paris, France on August the 11th. Perhaps you were like me and you didn't see much of the Olympics this time because the opening ceremony was pretty offensive to Christians, depending on who you ask. Still, there were many athletes who have trained for their whole lives for this opportunity who had nothing to do with the opening ceremony. Of the 126 medals brought home by the U.S. team, 69 of those were attributed to women. You go, girls! Women are thought of as the weaker sex. Frailty, thy name is woman. That's what William Shakespeare said about women. Napoleon Bonaparte said, women are nothing but machines for producing children. Have you ever watched the World's Strongest Man show? You know the one where the huge guys hook a chain the size of my leg around a fire truck and they drag it down the street? Now I ask you, how many of those 350-pound strong men do you think could have a baby in the field, wrap it in a sling against their bodies to nurse it, and finish picking crops till sunset? Tests now show that women may not be the weaker sex. They have a greater tolerance for pain, they live longer, and are more resistant to many diseases than men. First Lady Bess Truman once said, a woman's place in public is to sit beside her husband, be silent, and be sure her hat is on straight. Boy, how times have changed. Today's woman might sit next to her husband. She might even wear a hat, probably a ball cap. But let's face it, today's busy woman is many things, but silent is not one of them. Like man, woman was made in the image of God. He made woman very special. Very strong, very versatile. He gave her shoulders strong enough to carry the weight of the world, but gentle enough to give comfort. He gave her an inner strength to endure childbirth and rejection that may come when her children break her heart. God made her strong to carry her husband through his faults and to stand beside him unfalteringly. He created her from his rib to protect her husband's heart. The Lord gave her a hardness to let her keep going when everyone else gives up in a resolve to take care of her family through sickness and fatigue without complaining. She can spend a long day caring for elderly parents, cook dinner, clean house, do homework, and be there for her husband and kids, then walk a sick baby 10 miles that night, get 45 minutes of sleep, wash the baby throw up out of her hair, slip on her heels and be sharp as a tack for an important meeting. She's special, and I'm not just making this up. God made woman for a reason, and He equipped us so we have no excuses. We are all called. Wives, moms, grandmothers, daughters, granddaughters, sisters, aunts, friends, employees, bosses, Christian sisters, daughters of the King. We have a regal calling, a mission. When God breathed life into us, He had a plan. In Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. God had a perfect plan for marriage between a man and a woman. I've heard it said that woman's not supposed to be able to do everything a man can do. A woman's supposed to be able to do everything a man can't do. God made us different. That's for sure. God has a plan for each one of us, but he never said it was going to be easy. But he did say he would never leave us nor forsake us as his children. Sometimes when we're in our lives of chaos and nothing makes sense, we might be tempted to ask, what's all this for? Is there more than this? Think of the responsibilities you have for each of the roles I mentioned. Life is for a reason. Life is not a 70-plus year period of nothingness just trying to make it. Thomas Carlyle said, "A man without a goal is like a ship without a rudder. We need to live our lives on purpose." It was once said, "Life is like a book. Let it be said of your book that it is a record of noble purpose, generous service, and work well done." Most of us don't get to choose how we will die, but we can decide how we will live. C.T. Studd, a missionary, said, "Only one life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." Matthew 6:19-21 says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You probably also heard that you can't take it with you when you go. That's not entirely true. There is one thing you can take with you to heaven. That's people. Remember those relationships we were talking about earlier? How about laying up those treasures in heaven, taking those people with you to heaven? Maybe that's your purpose. Let's pick our legacies and work toward that. What are we leaving behind for our children, grandchildren, those lives we can touch now and those of future generations? If we have accepted Christ as our Savior, we have a mission requiring strength, perseverance, and determination. When I think of someone on a mission, I think of Paul, also known as Saul. He was determined, wasn't he? Whatever Paul did, whether it was killing Christians or leading people to Christ, he did it with such passion. He made an impact, first for bad, then for good. He was determined. He was on a mission. I want to have determination like Paul to serve Christ. Let's look at the life of Paul, the great missionary. He started out as the lowest of the low, a blasphemer and persecutor who was working hard to stamp out the early church, a murderer of Christians. Acts 9 says, "Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do.'" Saul was blinded during this encounter with Jesus and didn't eat or drink for 3 days. Then the Lord sent Ananias to him, and the Lord restored Saul, and Saul made a total turnaround for Christ. His life all changed on that Damascus road. He had a life commitment. By the way, if you've not had a Damascus road experience, it's a great time to have one. If Jesus can forgive Paul and save him, he can surely do that for you. Paul was determined to serve the Lord no matter what, but it wasn't easy. It's not easy for today's woman either. Thank God he sends us Christian friends. About 6 years ago, I was having one of those weeks. You know, one of those when your trials come to a head and you just cannot keep it together anymore. I cried a lot, like all day. I had been praying about something, literally for years, and I was realizing that unless something drastic happened, that my prayers were not going to be answered the way I had hoped. Then I received an encouraging note from one of my dearest friends. Her note said, "Hang in there. God is good, and He will be with you through all of this." Read Acts 14:19-20. Paul was stoned and left for dead, yet he got up and kept witnessing. Keep moving, girlfriend, keep moving. Here is what Acts 14:19-20 says. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. If you're like me, you've had episodes when life has beaten you down more than once. Maybe you're right there now. The devil wants you to stay down. He wants you to give up. God has something better. He is faithful. And when we are faithful back to Him, great things happen. Sometimes we cannot keep moving in our own strength, but we can do all things in His strength. Philippians 4:13. You see, the strength of a woman comes only from God. He has more work for us to do, more people to love, to serve, and to comfort. With the comfort that He has given us, nothing helps me more when I'm down than to help someone else. I know where my help comes from, and I know that it's not over yet. He has a plan, and I have to keep trusting Him. He has it no matter what. He has you no matter what. Sometimes it's time to pick yourself up, dust yourself off like Paul did, and keep walking. Dear Lord, I know You understand the struggles we experience, and You know each of our hearts. Please give us comfort in our trials, courage to trust You, and strength to keep walking when we want to give up. You are faithful no matter what. Please help us in our hour of need. Amen. Luke 21:19 says, "Stand firm and you will win life." There are days that we have to fan the flames of our salvation and find power in Jesus' name. We can find strength in His Word for each day. Life beats us down, but Isaiah 40:31 says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." What a beautiful promise from the Word of God. We feel pressure to give more to our husbands, our children, our parents, our jobs. Problem is, we have nothing left to give sometimes. We feel so empty, so inadequate, so weary. Why can't we be all things to all people all the time? Truth is, that job is already filled by Jesus Christ. And actually, He doesn't need your help at all. But boy, we sure need His, don't we? You see, we cannot do enough or be good enough to deserve heaven or Christ's forgiveness for our sins either. We need a hero who can save us at every turn. There is only one who can. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. He is our only hope in this chaos. His unconditional, everlasting love for us is strong enough to help us no matter what we need or what we have to do. He longs for us to ask Him for help, to be everything to us, to be Lord and Helper of our every minute. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Thank God, His grace is enough. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." One day, it's all going to be so worth it. How wonderful it must be to be an angel and sing God's praises all day, every day in heaven. It is a place where no sun or moon are needed because the Lamb of God is the light of that beautiful city. And there is no more suffering or pain, for the former things will have passed away. Jesus will dry every tear from our eyes. I long to go there one day. My mom and dad and my son are there, and I want to be reunited with them and to especially see my wonderful Savior who gave his life for me. Until that day that he dries all my tears, I have to try to make sense of this world that is not my home. So much suffering, so much heartache. I find comfort on so many days in the arms of my Savior, knowing he is working a bigger purpose in my life. He has me here for a reason. I am that wife, that mother, that sister, that friend, that servant, all those things that I mentioned earlier. I am his hands and feet for a dying world. Many times I feel that I am a drain rather than a fountain. Many days I need encouragement rather than being able to offer it to others. Still, he loves me, and despite my shortcomings, every day he gives me new opportunities to serve him, to have second and third and even 100th chances to make the right choices, to make a difference, to dust myself off, start over again, and like Paul, get up and walk. Jesus understands our struggles. He wants us to quit fighting a fight that he has already won. There is nothing that we can ever face here on earth that he is not familiar with. He was fully man, and he experienced all the joy and laughter that is ours. But he was also a man of sorrows and experienced pain, grief, sadness, and heartache to a degree that we cannot comprehend. He knows what we're going through today, what we experienced in our past, and what we will face in the future. He holds us through the long, dark nights and carries our burdens when they are too heavy for us to bear. He is the strength of a woman. He prays for us when we cannot pray for ourselves, and it does not stop there. He loved us so much that he died an agonizing death for us to pay the price for our sins and set us free, making a way for us to live with him forever in heaven one day. C.S. Lewis once said, "The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God." Yes, we his children have an understanding with Jesus, one that the angels cannot fully grasp. When we get to heaven, we can sing a new song, a song that will praise him for understanding and saving our weary souls from all the pain and suffering, for finding us when we were lost, for giving us eyes to see and granting us the freedom that could only come from shedding his blood for us, for humbling himself to become like us, to bring us righteousness that could only come because he reached out to us. He broke all our chains and delivered us. Yes, we can sing the song that the angels cannot sing. We can sing the song of the redeemed. Dear Lord, thank you for your unspeakable love for us and for sending your Son Jesus to die for our sins. May we never get over the precious gift of love and redemption. Jesus came not to make bad people good, but to make dead people live. When Jesus hung and bled and died, thank you that you were saying, "I love you," to the world. We are so unworthy of this gift, but we sure are thankful for it. Let us never grow tired in serving the one who gave his all for us and who gives us strength every day. Amen. Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. Please like and subscribe to support the growth of the ministry and so you don't miss a single episode. Check out SharonHawkins.net for show notes, or to contact me about speaking engagements, or find out more information about how to support Grace in the Wilderness Ministries. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust Him, and may His river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. See you here next week.